Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Hollywood Podcast, covering the latest in film, TV, streaming, and social media. I'm your host, Max Geschwind. Stay tuned for today's episode. I'm so excited to be joined by newly minted Oscar-nominated producer Nikki Bentham. Nikki is nominated in the category of Best Short Film for Netflix's The After. The film tells the story of a grieving rideshare driver played by David Oyelowo, who, after losing family members of a violent crime, picks up a passenger who helps him confront his traumatic past. Nikki, thank you for taking the time to chat with me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, I want to start at the beginning of your involvement with this project. I believe this all started with your relationship with the director, Ms. San. How did you first get connected with him? And how soon after meeting him, through your conversations, did you develop this idea that this should be what his filmmaking debut should be about? Because this is the first time he's directed a film.
Yeah, absolutely. It's his first film, and we met in the summer of 2020, and we were introduced by a mutual friend, and we first met online, and then we met up in person to talk about, I was a big fan of his photography, and he's a really remarkable photographer and of lots of different subjects, but he does a lot of civil rights and protest photography. And so we met up to talk about some of his incredible images and whether or not we might find a way to make something like a documentary piece around some of those images. And whilst we were having that conversation, it just became really, really clear to me that he's such a natural storyteller. He's so full of humanity and empathy, and absolutely full of stories. And so I asked him if he'd ever considered making a film, and he said yes, that he would be absolutely desperate to make a film. It's all he'd ever wanted to do. And so I said to him, okay, well, you know, you'd probably need to start with something in the short form, something kind of contained and manageable. And do you have any idea what that might be? And he basically just told me the story, that the idea for The After, and he really wanted to make something that was about the kind of collective struggle, which, you know, in that moment when we met in 2020, the world was in lockdown. We'd just seen the murder of George Floyd broadcast all over the world. And everyone was in a state of shock and a state of trauma in very different ways. But it felt like there was this collective pain. And that's something that he wanted to explore and tap into. And I was just immediately struck by how bold and brave the concept was, and that he wanted to make something that would be really, really powerful. And so I was not intending to make a short film at that time, but I was completely drawn in by him and his vision. And so I was really happy to dive in. And then in terms of how long it took, we sort of spent a good few months kind of talking about it and making sure we sort of had the vision and that, you know, that our intentions for it were really, really aligned. And then we started looking at writers to come on to work with him to get it onto the page. So it's sort of, it's, as always, it's kind of a long process, but we probably had a script and approached Netflix with it about a year after we first met. And then we shot it a year after that. So it took a little while.
Right. And in terms of influence, was there a particular story that he captured in his career as a photojournalist, or perhaps specifically during that time of the protests in 2020, or I guess a particular individual or family that he encountered that really inspired this story that we see in the after? Where did the inspiration behind this story come from?
I mean, the inspiration for him came from probably lots of different stories. And I think, as an observer of the human condition and someone who observes very keenly, he has a way of pointing his lens and looking at people in a really honest and open way. And so I think that that the inspiration kind of came from, a multitude of different people and experiences that he'd been witness to. And then also, part a really important part of the story is the idea that although, we all experience grief and loss and trauma, that there are ways through, and that it's okay to not be okay, and that sometimes, and essentially that there's hope for all of us, and especially for kind of collective humanity, if we can look after each other and come together. So, a part of the inspiration for that was really, his children and how much he's learned from them, and the kind of the kindness and compassion that young people sort of, perhaps before they get too jaded or self-conscious, or they know the rules of the world, that they have a really infinite capacity for love and kindness. And so that was something that he wanted to demonstrate as well.
I know shortly after both of you partnered up and decided that this was going to be a project you would work on together, you enlisted the help of John Julius Schwab Bach, who he's the screenwriter of the film, to help tell Miss Anne's story. Can you talk about how you found John? And I know the idea originated with Miss Anne, but what were elements of the story that John himself contributed to Miss Anne's story?
So we started looking at writers and reading sort of various samples and talking to a few agents and a few writers. And we actually met John Julius through his mum, who is a screenwriter. And her name is actually also Miss Anne, which is sort of, well, kind of by coincidence, but then as it happens, Miss Anne and Miss Anne are both from the same area of Nigeria. So there was immediately a kinship there. JJ is a new writer, but he really understood what it was that Miss Anne was trying to say with this story, and was really excited to jump in with both feet. And he spent a lot of time riding around in Ubers and also walking around the streets of London and listening to conversations, and kind of getting into the head of, well, not just getting into Miss Anne's head of the story that he wanted to tell, but the story of, I guess, the story of a city, the story of all the people that you kind of intersect with and brush up against on a daily basis. And you might never give it a second thought in terms of what that person is going through, or what they might have just come from, or what it is that they're dealing with in their own lives. And he really got under the skin of all of those, the passengers that we see in the rideshare car, and how Dio, our lead character, interacts or doesn't with them. And so JJ did a really marvelous job of bringing them all to life.
I have to talk about casting David Oyelowo. He's so emotional, so powerful, especially in the second half of the film when it's in Those moments of silence, which he sits in for such a long period of time, where it's just particularly impactful on the audience. And he brings his A game just as he would on any other feature. He's so incredible in this film. Can you talk about what made Miss Anne think of David for the part, how he came on board, and what those initial conversations were like between the two of you and him?
Sure. So I mean, Miss Anne and myself and like everyone are just sort of huge, huge admirers of David's work, and he's just such a phenomenal talent. And so it was, pretty easy to think of him in the role, especially I think because like you pointed out, really the second half of the film, he doesn't have very much dialogue. It's really all internalized, but there's a lot that's internalized. And then there's a lot that needs to pour out of him. And he's just one of those actors who can, he doesn't have to say anything. He doesn't have to, you don't have to give him very much. And he will, absolutely pour his heart and soul and kind of leave it there on the screen. And so we thought, we couldn't imagine anyone better for this role. And Miss Anne actually contacted him. He DM'd him over social media, and it was kind of amazing that that actually got through. I think that David had also been an admirer of Miss Anne's photography, and so they managed to connect online. And David said that he'd be totally thrilled to jump on board, which is just amazing, because that, it was a long shot. And the fact that he just responded so wholeheartedly and with such commitment and passion was really amazing.
Yeah, because he not only stars in the film, but he partnered with you as a fellow producer on the project. Can you share what it was like working not just with David, the actor, but David, the peer, the fellow co-producer on this film?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that it felt like him coming on board as a producer was obviously a huge bonus for me. And also it was, partly in recognition of the fact that, I mean, yes, this was a short film, and yes, it was like a relatively short shoot, but in order to make it special, and in order to really give it the best possible chance, it was going to require, a big commitment, and also of him giving a lot of himself. And so it was really, really wonderful working with him, because I think that obviously, what we all see is his work on screen, which is phenomenal. But off screen and behind the scenes, he's just a really, really fantastic collaborator. And him and Miss Anne had an incredible shorthand and dialogue between the two of them in terms of what they wanted to achieve creatively. And then just in terms of preparing for the shoot, and getting his input on, the other cast, and putting together the crew, and with some of the location challenges that we had. Like, it was really great for me to have someone else that I could lean on for support, advice, and also just like as a kind of just for the confidence of, like, we're all in this and we're doing it, and like, just keep going and we're going to make it amazing. So it was definitely a team effort to do that.
Right. And it just shows his level of commitment and confidence he had in Miss Anne being, the storyteller behind this project.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk about Netflix and this being shown through the streaming service. Were they involved in the project from the beginning, or did they come in after you guys had already made the film and acquired? What was that partnership like?
No, so they came on board relatively early, actually. We first spoke to them at the stage where we were working with JJ, but we didn't have the script yet. So we kind of just had an idea and a pitch deck that we'd put together. We talked to Netflix UK about what we were doing, and they were really interested and really supportive and very keen to work with Miss Anne, but short films wasn't really something they were doing or looking to do. So it didn't seem like there was much scope to partner with them. But then it was actually the exec there at the time who, a couple of weeks after the conversation, just kind of called back and said, you know what, this isn't really something that we do, but we'd love to make it work with you. And so they came on board, and we developed the script, and they were involved in that process, and they financed the production, and then have obviously, been championing it ever since, and it's been out on the platform, and accessible by, all of their millions of subscribers. So it's pretty amazing to have a short film that has that kind of global reach. And it seems like it's had a really big impact, I think, for a short runtime, but kind of big on impact. So yeah.
Yeah, it's certainly not every short film that gets as huge a platform as Netflix. So
Yeah.
to be able to live now on that streaming service and have millions of people, I'm sure already watch your film is something that is so I guess not common in the world
No.
of short film. Well, I want to switch gears because what I find so striking is how three of the five shorts nominated this year for live action short all deal with similar issues that The After does, grief, going through that process, experiencing the loss of a loved one, Night of Fortune, and Invincible, which are a couple of other of your fellow shorts in this category, deal with similar things. You could even throw in Red, White, and Blue, which also deals with the loss of childhood innocence and dealing with something traumatic. Do you think Miss Anne was tapping into something that was happening, I guess, in our society over the last couple of years that really has led to such a huge showing of films this year now that deal with similar subjects of loss and grief?
I mean, that's a really good question. I mean, the films are so incredible. I think it's just such an amazing, amazing standard that's in this category. So we feel very humbled to be included in that group. And I think in terms of the subject matter, I mean, I'm sure that there is, in part, a collective response to how much to the world is a really frightening and confusing place these days. And I think that the short form is a really interesting and unique way of exploring some of those more complex issues, without the sort of pressure of what would be a sort of a feature film budget and scale. And so you can kind of, I guess, you're maybe afforded a little bit more freedom to go deeper into some of those trickier subjects and themes, without such high stakes. And I mean, I guess it's important to say that, these are five films that have been nominated for an Oscar, but you know, there are loads of other brilliant shorts out there, and not necessarily all of them are going to be tackling such heavy subjects. But yeah, I think it's interesting that the short form does seem to be a really good vehicle for exploring those. And it's, you know, it's an 18-minute runtime for the after. And so it's sort of, even though it's probably going to stay with you for quite a while afterwards, or at least we hope it does, it's like, it's not going to take up your whole day thinking about, you know, exploring grief. It's kind of like, it feels like it's a manageable kind of time to ruminate on some of those meaty issues. So yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
No, yeah, I think absolutely what we've gone through that Miss Anne has captured through his photojournalism work probably led to a moment like this, where we're now seeing such similar topics explored through this year's short films. So yeah, it probably has to do with just 2020, 2021 that's now led to these projects that have been worked on over the last couple of years as a result of what we all experienced collectively early on. I wanted to close out, and because you've been working on short films for such a long time, it's hard to believe that this is your first Oscar nomination in the live action short category. Wanted to know just what this whole process has been like for you. And I know the other week was the Oscar nominee luncheon, where it was the first time that you all as a group got together as, you know, the class of 2024 Oscar nominees. So what was that experience like? And did you meet anyone for the first time that you'd always been inspired or a fan of?
Yeah, so it's completely amazing to have gotten to this stage, and it's not something that you sort of ever really expect. I think especially with a short film, it's never kind of been by design. So it does feel really special and really surprising. But and the process has been absolutely wonderful. I mean, I think not only to have the recognition from peers and from the industry, but then also I just think it's been a really amazing opportunity for audience engagement. And I think, you know, often you put these things out into the world, whether it's a short or a feature, and you really hope that people will like it and hope that people will see it and they'll respond. But I think that having, you know, being nominated for an Oscar and having that platform and that recognition means that people really, really do watch it and really, really get in touch with you to let you know, which is amazing, that just sort of through social media and through, you know, various online, and also just from all the screenings that we've had with the Academy and for other events that we've been part of. It's just amazing that people have been watching the film and it's really resonated. So that feels very special. And then the nominees lunch was a completely mind-blowing experience, and it's sort of a pretty intimidating room to walk into with some proper film legends in there, but everyone was just in such a good mood and so happy to be there and so welcoming. And I did get to have a chat with Steven Spielberg, so that was, yeah, that's pretty much made my year. So I don't know if it can get much better than that from here on. So I'm just thrilled to be part of it all. It's like, it's such an honor.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations again on your Oscar nomination. I think that, you know, from the initial launch on Netflix to the Oscar nomination, there's definitely been, I think, waves of support and new audiences seeing the film throughout this process over the last several months. So just great job. And I look forward to seeing how it turns out on March 10th.
Thank you so much,
Yeah.
Max. Yeah, no, it's a real pleasure to speak to you, and yeah, thanks for all the support.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Please take a moment to subscribe to the Hollywood Podcast for free on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Max Geschwind. Thanks for listening.